y'all, and welcome to episode number 60 of Snacks for the Brain. Yes, sirree, Joe Bob, we turn sextagenarian this episode. It's so hard to believe, but I promise it's true. I think it's only fitting that in this back-to-school time, we celebrate the birth of a school, the School for Science and Math at Vanderbilt. This is a project that's been a long time in the making with a very tight-knit group of dedicated Center for Science Outreach people struggling, sometimes it seemed against all odds, to make it happen. In short, 25 Metro Nashville Public School students from each grade level, grades 9 through 12, will attend classes one day a week on the Vanderbilt University campus, gaining first-hand knowledge at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center, learning how rewarding a career in research and exploration can be. Chosen via an application process aggressively offered to students in a school system of over 73,000 students, K-12, these 100 students will be exposed to the best of the best, taught by a small cadre of talented, young, enthusiastic PhD-level instructors, visited by internationally renowned scientists, guided through hands-on work in a real research laboratory. These students will exercise 21st century skills to explore 21st century problems, gaining expertise along the way that will position them for collegiate experiences we can only begin to imagine, followed by professional adventures we, to be honest, simply cannot. I was lucky enough to be a fly on the wall for the very first day of work put in by the school's freshman class, the class of 2011. These freshmen have signed on for a 4-year commitment, supported by the Metro Nashville Public Schools Administration and our own faculty and staff at the Center for Science Outreach. How thoroughly are they supported? Listen to MNPS Director Pedro Garcia at an August the 2nd orientation session for the students, their parents, and the world.
Being the first class, it takes a little bit of adjustment. So I just want to make sure that you that you know that my flesh is to do everything we can to overcome all the obstacles and make life as easy for you as possible, because I know you have a challenge in working through this. The fourth body of knowledge is going to double over the next 13 years. It is estimated by the time our fresh starts in the gardens that it started this August 13th, graduate from high school, 13 years from now, it'll be 2020, the world book of knowledge will double every 35 days. We don't even know what that world's going to look like. You know, I saw last week, I was at dinner on Monday, and I saw one of those eye columns. This thing is phenomenal. And I remember probably 15 years ago, my phone was like a suitcase. And that was a portable phone, which we didn't even have in 1980. Do you remember when we had, when you had to go into a phone booth and put in, I don't even think we had phone booths anymore. The world's changed. But we are preparing you for a world that doesn't yet exist. And so we're preparing you, you will be prepared, really, so that you know where to find information. So you know what to do when you don't know what to do. And so that you have the skill to really do the research and know what to do and where to go. Because there's no way that you can know everything there is to know as the world's body of knowledge doubles so fast. I can tell you from my own experience, I grew up in a chemistry lab. My dad's got a PhD in chemistry. But I wanted to be a baseball player. And so I went a different route. And I love kids and I love coaching, and so that's the route I went, and I ended up being a teacher, that's what I am today. Well, when I wanted to relate one experience to you, when I was in third grade, I wanted to be in a choir. And so my friend, when I lived in Cuba, Tony Perez and I, they told us that we went to private Catholic schools, and so our priest, or brother, told us that we had to memorize the national anthem and sing it. And so we did that for a long time. And one day we saw him in the yard, and I went to him, and Tony and I went to him and said, we're ready to try out. And the tryout, of course, was right in the middle of the yard. And so we started singing the national anthem, and then after a while, I sang about two lines. He went to me and went like this. And that was the end of my music career. And so from that day on, I believed that I couldn't sing. So I had a band when I was in high school or in college, but I played the guitar, but I never sang, because I knew that Brother Moses went like this when I was in third grade. And if you know what that means, it means that you're not good enough. It means that somehow, in a matter of seconds, he made a decision about me. And so it was when I came to Nashville and I ran into somebody and said, well, you're not a monotone, so if you're not a monotone, you should be able to sing. Well, cut a story short. I've been singing now for the last 5 years. This is my seventh year in Nashville. I've been singing for the last 5 years. And I'm not ready for public consumption, but I enjoy it. And I can tell you this much. Every Wednesday at 4:30 or 4:45, nothing interferes with my singing class. Nothing. So board meeting, it calls for a board meeting. I try very hard not to go to the board meeting. I do everything possible to not schedule anything on Wednesday at 4:45. It's probably one of the most important things in my life that I do. But my lesson to you is this, my message to you is this. For 40 years, I allowed this to become my reality. I allowed somebody's evaluation of my voice when I was in third grade to become my reality. And so, for 40 years, I did that. And my advice to you is, as I learned, it took me a long time to learn, don't allow somebody else's opinion to become your reality. You know who you are. You know what talents and skills and abilities you have. You can do anything you want to accomplish. Whatever it may be, you may want to be a doctor, you may want to be a baseball player, whatever you choose to be, it is up to you. But don't allow somebody's opinion to interfere and to tell you that you cannot do it. You can do it if you want. I hope you have great success in this program. 4 years from now, I want to come to your graduation from here and get your diploma from Vanderbilt. science and math school. Hope you have a great ride, and I hope it's a great experience. Thank you very much.
Now let me serve up some quick snapshots of the first morning at the School for Science and Math at Vanderbilt. The very first thing I got to follow was the trip to the Vanderbilt Life Flight Helipad, 14 stories up from ground level at the top of Vanderbilt Hospital. Check out the video at the show notes site, scienceoutreach.org, and listen up here to part of the information that Communications Supervisor James Thompson, the student's gracious and attentive host, shared with those students. Listen close. It's loud at first out there on that helipad. There ain't no rails around that thing either, 14 floors up. And then it gets a little quieter as we get into waiting for the elevator.
So a flight nurse is not an EMT.
Yes,
so it is an EMT.
You have to be an EMT.
Just don't care if it's an EMT.
Me and it? Yes. Yes, we all have. We periodically have to rotate out about once a quarter to keep up all of our status of, you know, us, you know, doing things. Because a lot of us came from the field, so we had to keep that up. So we have to fly at least once a quarter.
Has anybody here ever been on a helicopter?
Dollywood?
Dollywood, yeah. Yeah, that's what everybody says, Dollywood. $1.50.
I would say the question is, do you love your job?
I love my job. I've been at Vanderbilt about 15 years. I worked in the ER first, and 80% of the flight nurses who are flight nurses now, I came with them when they came up here. So I've been with Life Flight itself for about 7 years. Yes, I do.
Very nicely phrased. Nicely phrased.
That was nice. That was nice.
Not out there.
My wife doesn't work, and I have a 9-month-old. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You support your family?
That's not by choice either, so.
The 9-month-old and the wife's not working.
Both.
Chris, do you have a question?
How high up?
Yeah. We're about 14 stories up.
How many feet?
100. You see that sign right there when we go in the door?
A little bit more.
You see that white sign up above there? When we go in, just read that sign. And the AGL, when you see the AGL, that's above ground level. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? You want to answer that yourself?
So, like, would you
still
flat?
Probably so.
Do any other people use the helipad for their personal use?
Not for personal use, only medical. We have another aircraft service that brings patients here, and also out of Kentucky, out of West Tennessee, Hospital Wing, UT, LifeStar, UT, Chattanooga, they have an aircraft. So they're here too.
But doctors can't just come on, land, and go to work.
Alright,
let's start heading back inside and get down there. Remember to keep your watches out. Hey, did y'all see the isolate? Miss Ryan, did y'all see this? This is the isolate. This is one little baby. They have their own team of nurse practitioners, community nurse practitioners. That also, we can also fly that in a helicopter suit and in an airplane.
Wow. Isobaric or anything?
Yeah. It's all chill in there.
Whoa. Here's your question, Gaudry. How much does that cost?
Oh, dear. That, looking at that probably there, probably $50,000 or more.
Okay.
And that's just for the system itself.
Yeah.
You got to have the monitor and the tanks and everything else to it.
It's a nice car.
Yeah, that's why I don't touch it. Touch it.
Looks like something that's going to space.
Yeah, I don't touch it. But it's kind of wild when a baby is in there. It's kind of, you know, you look at it now and you're like, anything fit in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
especially being a dad.
Oh, I know.
Can you imagine?
You know, they go and like pick up babies, and it's just amazing to see, you know, when you go into a room and the baby's there and the parents are there, they're trying to, you know, see the baby, you know, before, you know, it's taken to here. It's really bad.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Where do they land when they go, like, pick up people?
They either land at the hospital or they land on the scene, which means if it's, like, accidentally on the interstate or something, they land on the interstate before.
What if it's, like, someone's house?
We don't fly anybody's house. And if it's an accident in front of the house, it depends on what kind of area we have to land in. It has to be about 100 by 100 landing area.
100 by 100?
Yep.
So you only go to, like, car accidents?
No, we go to medical, too. We do medical, cardiac, pediatric, geriatric, you name it, we fly. So
these are special helicopters, right? They're not, like, regular.
Those are
your helicopters, the Vanderbilt ones.
The Vanderbilt ones, we just got three brand new ones. They're EC-145s. And all it is, we used to fly, we've got one BK, which is that thing right there that you see. That's a BK. And all it is an upgrade. It's a newer model is what it is. We was like one of the first programs to get it. We got three brand new ones. They're a little bit longer, a little bit wider, a little bit faster. But it's just an upgrade.
They're jet propulsion?
They use jet A fuel.
Jet
A fuel.
Oh, okay. It's just the A fuel.
Right. We can fly two patients in them. Very comfortable. We fly just, you know, two nurses and a pilot. But that helipad that you see now is just below that helipad there where that crane was. That building on top of that right there as we speak. So it's no longer, it hadn't been in use probably about 2 years now. That's where they used to land. There used to be the helipad down there.
Okay. So you actually had to come in.
Go off
buildings there. Around you?
Yep. Sure did. Sure did.
Well, that changes things.
We sure did. So now all of that has been built up, you know, now. Yeah, so you can imagine that, huh?
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
I mean, just think, you
could
put a rope or just,
all of my pilots are ex-military. So, you know, they flung Chinooks and Black Hawks, so that's basic.
So I think these are pretty easy.
Okay.
Where are
you going to?
Do you
okay.
Let's
bring
Sim
back up for me.
Okay.
We can't get on that one. I don't think y'all can. It just hit the real floor. Y'all don't want to get
on it. Going up, that's a good part.
So are y'all curious about anything else while we wait on that one?
How many people work in that controller?
We have 4 on days and 4 on nights at all times. We have a guy, the fourth person is kind of on 11 to 11, so he catches the peak hours in between and the peak hours at night. And then we used to run the transfer center for the hospital, but we don't stop doing that.
What do they work, 4/12 on and 3 off or something like that?
Like, our schedule goes, I'm working, like, today and tomorrow, then I'm off Wednesday and Thursday, but then I work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then I'm off Monday and Tuesday, work Wednesday and Thursday, then I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so it rotates like that every week.
Gotcha.
So I'm on a set schedule.
So what are your hours, like, today?
7 to 7. 7 in the morning, 7 at night. Mm. Then it goes by fast. Okay. Especially if, you know, if we got flights going on all the time, it goes by fast.
You have to, like, get up over the, like, you're
really
sleeping and
if
an accident happens,
then
get up,
something,
and then, like...
I know, the nurses do. The nurses do. They have to get up. But, you know, they may have a night, though, to where they go in at 7 o'clock, and they fly to, like, 4 or 5 in the morning. So, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah.
How many flights do
you
usually have, like, a day?
A day? In a 12-hour, I've had 12 or 14 flights in 12.
So that many people, like,
from a hospital that needs to be transferred, so, you know, high level of care, or it may be a rural county that, you know, can facilitate that kind of injury, you know, with somebody, like a cardiac injury or a medical injury, they can facilitate this, so we either bring them back here for Baptist or St. Thomas and St. Anybody thought about being a doctor, nurse, like me?
Wait! I should tell you, the music you heard at the start of our little foray today was from my own CD, Scott Merrick's Songs for Alaska, featuring the Last Frontier Band. You can find that at iTunes. Dana Ward, the singer there, sings pretty, don't she? I'll be featuring more soon from the School for Science and Math at Vanderbilt. In fact, you can count on it as a new recurring theme for Snacks for the Brain. I'm going to let you go today, playing you out with a funny song by independent songwriter Tom Snuff. He shares it at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. I get a good, solid chuckle out of this song. I hope you do, too. And if you don't know what a wiki is, do what I did when I first heard the term. Look it up on Wikipedia. Cheers, peace, and safe skies until next time, when we'll join you for episode number 61 of Snacks for the Brain. See ya!
Snacks for the Brain is brought to you by the fine folks at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, connecting working research scientists with K-12 students worldwide. Check out the website at scienceoutreach.org.
Some lust for gold and silver, and some for gems and jewels, but some want greater treasures, and they use their software tools. For some of us quest for knowledge, and we want it undefiled. But now and then, you get a troll who thinks he's Oscar Wilde. Beware the wiki pirates who sail the server seas. They flaunt their fake credentials and their advanced degrees. They control the information with bullying moderation, 'cause arrogance and online swagger trump your expertise. No matter what your sources, no matter whom you cite, he doesn't want to hear it, 'cause he knows for sure he's right. There is no compromising, no bargain or accord. He's never heard of you, or doesn't like you, or he's bored. Beware the wiki pirates, they love to wield their clout. All day they'll argue details that no one cares about. They don't see as overreaching their demands for page deletion. Web pages are in short supply.
And what if we run out?
Yo-ho, yo-ho, no one ever thought. Yo-ho, yo-ho, in this web we'd be caught. The wiki's meant to document the stuff the mainstream missed. Instead, we've got a pompous sot who's building up his wrist. So if you've got a subject that really interests you, beware the wiki pirates, they've got nothing else to do. Someday we'll have a knowledge base with all you want and need. Till then we'll take cold comfort that they're likely not to breed. Beware the wiki pirates who whine at our attacks. They're only trying to help us, never mind the rules and facts. They're just honest, not unpleasant. It's not their fault that we're peasants. If we'd only see their brilliance, everybody could relax. Beware the wiki pirates, that basement dwelling band. They regulate and obfuscate what they don't understand. The grief they give you will reduce you to trivia and minutia, and praying that you really do get banned.
Only public notoriety will get you in their library.
Be grateful they're all lost at sea. They try to delete the land.